We're so grateful for so many people who have shared with us accounts and testimonies and stories of how God has moved in their lives going through difficult times. And that ought to be an encouragement to each one of us. Weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. That's an important part of the Christian life. Grab your Bibles if you would, please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 is where we're going to be this evening. I do want to make mention of the fact that we have our CD table back there. Normally speaking, these days we do Sunday through Wednesday meetings. Of course, we're not going to be here this Wednesday, though. We will be heading back to Pensacola. I appreciate y'all's flexibility, pastor's flexibility. Extra day is going to make a huge difference so we can go pick up our fully recovered, maybe not energy-wise, but as far as sickness-wise, they're doing great. So we're very grateful for that. And that'll allow us to go all the way back to Florida and then turn around from there and head straight to northern Indiana. Appreciate your prayer. In fact, a week from tonight, we will be in Indiana. So that's a lot of driving that has to take place. Now, it's what we do, and it's fine, but we sure would appreciate your prayer. But I say all that to simply say tomorrow night we'll be packing up the table. So if any of our music will be a blessing to you. We are on Apple Music, Spotify, all the streaming platforms, etc. Most of our music is, at least. Not all of it, but most of it. But if you do want to have a hard copy, you're more than welcome to take that hard copy and then rip it and put it on your computer devices, you know, your phones and all that type of stuff. That's fine, too. This one is all instrumental piano music. My dad is a professional, has been a concert-level pianist all my life, and so his arrangements, I know I'm a little biased, but they are just fantastic, and great background music, instrumental music of these 13 different hymns. And then this is my second a cappella album called A Cappella Anthems. In fact, God of Heaven is on this one, and some my personal favorite arrangements that I've done in, as a whole are on this album, so much more back there if it'd be a blessing to you. And then tomorrow night, last thing I'll say is that tomorrow night, I am really excited about the message tomorrow night. And I mentioned to you that it's going to deal with prophecy. I got a phone call today, actually from a relative of mine, and they were asking me some questions about end times. They were asking me some questions about the rapture in particular, actually. And we had just a great conversation, and it was of the Lord because it has prompted me. I spent most of the afternoon after that retooling my message for tomorrow night. Now, what do you mean retooling, Brother Ben? You don't believe the Bible anymore? You don't believe the things you believed? Are you going to change the message? No, it's not like that. All right? What I want to do is I love to equip God's people to deal with what's going on right now. I don't know if you've noticed this, but a lot of Christian folks these days are wondering whether or not the doctrine of the rapture in particular is still accurate. Kind of wondering. I mean, no one taught the rapture before the 1850s or so. That's kind of a true statement. I'm going to deal with that tomorrow night.
What?
Yeah, we're going to deal with that tomorrow night. Let's see. Do you realize there are alternative explanations to the trump of the Lord, right? Because after all, the Bible says that the last trump, there's going to be all kinds of judgment, right? Well, that's kind of confusing. Okay, well, what happens to people who get saved if there's a tribulation while they are part of the church? And if the church is already raptured, then what are they going to do, right? Questions like this. I could go on and on. We're going to answer those tomorrow night. All right, so I got permission from Pastor. We're going to sing one song, and then we're going to sing some songs for you, and then we're going to hit it. Boom! Okay? And I'm reworking the PowerPoint. Okay? And so we're just going to have a great time tomorrow night, and it's fascinating to me, so I trust it'll be fascinating to you as well. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. You ever wonder why God allows us to go through difficulty? I do. I mean, after all, I thought after we were saved that things were supposed to be better for us. I thought that, well, according to some televangelists, you know, health and wealth and all that stuff, right? As long as we send them $500 a month or whatever it is, you know. So in faith, right? Okay. The Apostle Paul didn't get the memo that everything was supposed to go great after he got saved. Right? I mean, he was in shipwrecks. I mean, he was often in stocks and bonds, and I'm not talking about the monetary kind. right? He was in dirty, filthy dungeons with rats and in pain. He got left for dead multiple times. He was stoned with stones. Boom. I mean, so many things that he went through. In fact, historians hint to us, because there's no pictures of Paul. Some of these pictures and some of the Sunday school material that we use kind of cracks me up a little bit sometimes, you know. Some are better than others. You know this. Our kids use some particular homeschool material that does a pretty good job, but some of the characters in it and different things, I have to chuckle. We have to chuckle a little bit. I've seen pictures of what Paul looked like, and he was like tall, dark, and handsome. You know, all this type of stuff. Like, oh, people followed Paul because of that. Historians tell us that actually, as he got into his ministry, that not only did he have an eyesore issue, a lot of people think that might have been his thorn in the flesh, it's possible, but also he had been beaten and hit with rocks so much that he couldn't even stand up straight. We have no record in Scripture that God just miraculously healed him aside from when he was blind on the road to Damascus, right? So did he carry those scars with him? Very interesting to think about. Well, look at verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul says, hey, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. God allowed me to go through difficulty. And by the way, thorn in the flesh is not, that's not a pain in the neck. Right? You understand the difference between a thorn in the flesh, pain in the neck? Pain in the neck is an inconvenience. Pain in the neck is something you're reminded of every once in a while because, oh, I got to take care of that thing, or, oh, that thing isn't working. Pain in the neck, to me, an older lady, we were in the Dollar Tree parking lot in Pensacola, and I saw an older lady pull in with her vehicle. I have nothing against older ladies, okay? Eventually, I'll be married to one. So it's not going to be a problem, right? One of my grandmas is still alive, all right? I love her to death, okay? So, but I'm sitting there, this older lady pulled in, and I could tell that she wanted to park right next to where I was. There's a problem, and that was in between me and her car was a shopping cart. I watched her eyes go to the shopping cart and keep driving. She pushed the shopping cart right into my relatively new car, left a huge dent in the side. I'm like, really? Really? So my wife watched the whole thing. The kids, some of them were inside, Dollar Tree doing stuff. So I got out of my car. I tried to be as calm and not look threatening, okay? When I'm just dressed casually and not in a suit, etc., and I'm not in meetings, I don't shave every day. I just got a tough beard, right? So I can look kind of unkempt sometimes. I don't mean to. But a lot of people, including my own children, tell me I have a mean resting face. How many of you have a resting face that looks mean? Yeah? Okay, yeah? Yeah? So I'll show you my resting face, right? Since you're all curious and you asked me. You didn't, but. All right, so let me see if I can do it. I'm trying not to laugh, but you can see it, right? I'm just kind of like, it looks like I'm just like angry. Well, I try not to do that, so I have to consciously open my eyes. I have to consciously, like, relax my forehead. Sometimes my wife will reach across, and she'll, like, rub right here, and I'll be like, what are you doing? She's like, you look so angry. Like, I'm not angry, I'm just thinking, you know? it's the same thing. Some of you can identify with some of these very same things, right? So I put on my happy face, all this stuff. I went over. I didn't even go to her side. I didn't want to alarm her. She rolled the window down on the opposite side a little bit. I said, I'm sorry, ma'am. Do you realize you hit the side of my car with the shopping cart here? She said, no, I didn't. Like, we just saw you do it. I watched your eyes go to the shopping cart. Well, long story short, I decided in this case, I would have been well within my rights to call it in or take pictures and report it, all this type of stuff, etc. I just didn't feel right about doing that this time. And every time I think about that dent, which is still there, hopefully I can get it pulled out or something like that, I actually pray that she would be saved. And so that's become a prayer reminder to me. Now, I'm not like Mr. Spiritual all the time, okay? In that case, I responded in what I believe was the right situation, went in the right situation. But I'm telling you right now, that is not a thorn in the flesh. The dent in the side of my car is not a thorn in the flesh. That, at most, is a pain in the neck when I see it. It's on my wife's side of the car, so I don't really see it that much, right? But that's a pain in the neck. No, he had a thorn in the flesh. This is a big deal. This is something that changed his life. I want you to see, number one, God will allow us to go through difficulty to rid us of pride. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure. What's he talking about? Through the abundance of the revelations. Paul got to see cool, secret stuff that he's not even allowed to tell us about. How many of you like to see cool, secret stuff? Oh, yeah. I want to see some mysteries. I want to see you have to see it to believe it, you know, all this type of stuff. My kids have introduced me to a show that we're watching through, an animated kids show. It's got a bunch of mysteries in it. And so they've got me hooked on this stupid show. And I'm sorry. Sorry for the strong language. It's not. It's actually very well written, okay? And I'm all interested in how's it going to work? You know, how's it going to work out? Paul saw cool stuff, and he's not allowed to tell us about it. You know, that if I knew cool stuff and no one else did, I would have a tendency to get proud about it. It's human nature, right? Paul saw ultimate stuff. He saw what heaven looks like. He, in fact, it's the beginning of this chapter. We won't go into it tonight, but doesn't it make you curious? What did he see? What did he see? I want to know. Right? He says, listen, God allowed me to have an issue so I wouldn't get swelled up with pride. You know, pride is the biggest roadblock to revival. Pride says, I'm okay. I preached a message at a church, I'll never forget this, and I really just, I'm not, you know what I'm like, I'm not a hellfire and brimstone preacher, okay? Hopefully I'm not, you know, dull and boring either. I'm kind of in the middle. It's just my own personality amped up. That's basically, I believe, what us preachers and pastors and such should be, is that in the pulpit, we are still ourselves, we're just kind of a magnified version of ourselves, okay? And I see that in your pastor. I've gotten to know him over the last few years, times we've been here. He gets in the pulpit, because I check in on your church every once in a while, and I'll watch a live stream. All right? So your pastor is who he is. He gets in the pulpit, he's just like, it's like a magnifying glass, okay? And I tend to think the same thing, right? What was my point? Where was I going with that? What's that? Thank you. My kids are with me. I'm so glad you were paying attention. That's good. Yes, so I'm preaching at a church, and I just really let it all out. And I went to the back, and a man came up to me, and he said, you know, I really appreciate that message. I said, praise the Lord, I'm so glad. He said, I can think of several people who needed that message. I said, oh. He said, yeah. I mean, I didn't. He wasn't even being funny. I didn't, but I can think of a few people who did. I'm thinking, okay, good. I'm so glad you can think of the truth applying to other people. Have you ever felt like that? Oh, man, this is a great message. I want to give it to so-and-so. Let's get some. You used to have cassette tapes, right? Now, it's not wrong to send somebody a message you think is interesting, right? Okay, tomorrow night, hopefully, it'll be a message that you'll... we're going to record it here. I asked Pastor if we could use your church, assuming I preach it well enough, okay? We can use your church as the official recording, okay, that we'll send out to people and put on our table and things like that. And so, you know, don't throw anything tomorrow. You can throw it tonight, but don't throw it tomorrow, okay? But hopefully it'll be something interesting to you. It's nothing wrong with sharing it with other people, but let's not skip the application when it comes to us. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer, right? Not my sister, not my brother, but it's me, oh Lord. See, pride doesn't want to admit when we need God. So Paul says, it rids us of pride. It rid me of pride, lest I should be exalted above measure. Look at verse 8. Not only does trouble in the life of a Christian rid us of pride, but it readies us to pray. It readies us to pray. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. He's saying, Lord, please, would you take this away? Has there ever been something in your mind that's just so, that bothers you so much, it just drives you to your knees because there's nowhere else to go? You know what? That's not a bad place to be, is it? That's not a bad place to be, is on our knees. Spurgeon, I believe it was, said, prayer is the lungs of the church. I'm afraid sometimes we get so creative. It's not wrong to be creative, but listen, all is vain unless it's the Spirit of the Lord's work. It's not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And the way to get a hold of God, the way to see God do things, is to be on our knees. Look at verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Look at the end of verse 10. These are probably the most famous words, if I can use that term. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Not only does suffering in the life of the Christian allow us to be rid of pride, it readies us to pray, but I want you to see, it renews us with power. Renews us with power. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Now, sometimes we come to this passage and we kind of treat it as though he's saying, after I've been weak, I'll come out stronger. There's nothing wrong with thinking that. Hopefully, after we go through difficulties, we'll come out on the other end stronger. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not what this passage is teaching. That's not what Paul is saying here. He's literally saying, while I am weak, I am simultaneously strong at the same time. Now, that seems a little weird. How does that work? How can we be weak and strong at the same time? Well, see, when I in of myself am weak, that's an opportunity for God to show Himself, for Christ to show Himself stronger through me. I was fellowshipping with a pastor who had had a stroke. He was a longtime pastor. In fact, he had pastored for over 40 years. I don't know if he'd quite reached 50, but he then was retired and joined our local church, back where our sending church, and was still active in the church, okay? And he would visit people and just help as he could, etc. He loved being a part, and occasionally he would speak. He was actually part of my ordination council, and I was honored to have him there. But he had had a stroke, and I wanted to encourage him, so I spent some time with him. And as I'm getting ready, I'm thinking, Lord, please help me to be an encouragement. Please help me to, I don't know what to say. And it was difficult for him to put words together. But after spending time with him, who do you think had the bigger blessing? Well, I felt like I did. Because even in his difficulty, it's like Jesus was shining through him. Have you ever been around someone like that? They're just going through something difficult. They're going through something and it's like, wow. But there's still joy there. There's still peace there. They're strong while they're weak. Now, I'll tell you right now. Lord, help me to be strong while I'm weak is not a prayer that's on like the top of my refrigerator that I pray every day. Like some people say, I don't want to pray for patience. That's not one of those prayers that, I do want to pray, Lord, give me power. Well, guess what? Sometimes this pathway to seeing God do something great is when we're at the end of our rope. And then we know, oh, it's not me. It's not me, it's God. Every once in a while, the Lord will remind me. Pastor, I don't know if he's had a situation like this or not, preaching. Maybe some of you others that teach Sunday school or preach, etc., have had this situation. But there have been times when I've preached a message and I just thought, man, that was great. And it's like it just went poof. And then other times I really struggled. Maybe I wasn't feeling well. I remember preaching when I had kidney stones, and that was awful, right? I remember preaching a message specifically in Wisconsin, and I thought it was a failure. I really did, and someone came forward and got saved. I went back to my room and I said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for thinking it's about me, because it's not. It's about the Holy Spirit and Jesus shining through us. So sometimes the Lord steps in, He reminds us, hey, listen, if you want power from me, that's going to come while you're weak. Then look at verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. The end of verse 9, what does he say? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, right? What is this? Suffering in the life of the Christian rids us of pride, readies us to pray, renews us with power, and finally here tonight, it refocuses our perspective. It refocuses our perspective. What do I mean by that? Okay, he's saying, okay, I'm going to then welcome these things into my life. That's huge, right? Now, I've heard some people say, we ought to be grateful for everything and be grateful to the Lord in spite of what's going on. Well, I think we ought to be grateful for the Lord in spite of what's going on, but that's not what he's saying here. He's actually thanking the Lord for the negative things, not in spite of the negative things, but for the negative things. Woo! Right? When's the last time we thanked God specifically for a negative thing? I got to admit to you, it's been a while for me. I try to thank God in spite of, right? So we get in an accident, or we, because that's the number one thing when we travel around that I'm kind of afraid of, right? Accident. Something goes wrong, or I think a lot of how our kids are getting older and they're getting jobs, and my oldest son, he got a second job because I appreciate his work ethic, right? But I'm thinking, man, he's driving around all this. When something bad happens, I have the tendency to say, oh, Lord, well, at least I'm still alive, right? Or at least this thing didn't happen, right? Or my wife got really sick, but at least it's something she can get better from, right? It's not wrong to pray that way, but that's not what he's saying. He's literally saying, thank you for the problems. That'd be like me saying, Lord, thank you for the kidney stones, not in spite of the kidney stones. Lord, thank you that I lost my voice in 2015. Wow. That's a whole different thing. Why is that? Because we're supposed to be spiritual masochists, you know, and we get closer to the Lord from pain, you know. Well, I like ketchup on my hamburger, so I must get closer to the Lord, so no ketchup on my hamburger anymore because it's uncomfortable for me. No weird stuff like that. He's saying that after he prayed, after he knows now that this is God's will, instead of fighting it, he welcomes it. You know, friends, there's a peace that comes when we stop fighting God about something and we welcome it. I think of a lady that I knew most of my life, all my life. She was quite a musician, and actually still is, because I think musician is something that you are, even when your skills decline due to age or other things. But she was an excellent cellist, and she developed multiple sclerosis. And so I watched as she lost her skill on the instrument, and eventually she couldn't play it at all. She would come to hear me speak when we were in town or close by, and I knew that if she showed up in the audience, I would need to block out time to just be a listening ear. Now, hear me carefully. Right? I know it's Monday night. I appreciate you folks being here. There's a lot of other places you could be. But I'm sure we're all tired, one degree or another. Please don't misunderstand me. I am not mocking or denigrating or making less of the situation in which she found herself, because I've not been in that situation. But it was hard to listen to her for a long period of time. Does that make sense? Because none of it was joyful. None of it was about the Lord. It was always, why does God allow this? Why is this happening? Why? I can't believe I can't do this. Very sad. And I would try to do my best. All right? So please understand, I wasn't mean. I was a listening ear. It'd take maybe half an hour out of our time to do that. Never saw a smile. Went on for about 10 years. And I didn't see her for a little while. And then maybe 3 years later, I saw her show up in the back of a service. Well, as she showed up in the back of that service, I marked it down, hey, I'm going to need to spend some time. That's all right. My family knows who she is, or at least my wife does, so she can tell them, Daddy's going to be late, you know. Long story short, I met her in the lobby, and something was totally different about her, and I couldn't figure out what it was. She still had a walker, and I figured out as I walked up to her what was different. She had a smile on her face. kind of took me aback, you know, kind of, I went for a loop a little bit. Hi, how are you? I'm doing so great. I said, really, what's going on? She said, I just can't. I just love Jesus so much. That's not the way any of our other conversations started, right? We ended up having a 15-minute conversation, and you know what? Her situation hadn't really improved. She couldn't play her instrument again, but her perspective had changed. And you could tell, because all she wanted to talk about was how wonderful God is. I've never forgotten that, and I never will. The power of perspective, right? Oh, it's huge. Paul's saying, now that I know this is God's will, then I'll take it as from your hand. And the peace came. Listen, I'm not privy to what went on in her heart. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I can't decide for someone, well, how long is too long? How long do you wrestle with the Lord over something? Because clearly, wrestling with the Lord is a biblical concept. You go into Scripture and you see that in Scripture. But there comes a point, I don't know when that point is, but you'll know between you and the Lord when it's time to say, okay, I think this is your will for me, so I'm going to accept it. And the peace comes back and the joy comes back. Listen, friends, God has a purpose in your suffering, in your difficulty. And here on a Monday night, for those of you who are here and maybe are watching, I don't know the difficulties you might be going through. We don't know what we're going to face next week, do we? I think a lot of friends and brothers and sisters in Christ who right now in Louisiana are getting hit with got hit with the hurricane and now the aftermath. I haven't even been able to talk to some of them yet. Is there a purpose for these things? Yes. God never wastes pain. And oh, what a comfort that ought to be. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Did you need this encouragement from God's Word this evening? You going through some challenges? Are you facing some difficulties? God has a purpose in it, friend. Brother, God has a purpose in it. Sister, God has not forgotten about you. He doesn't waste pain. Maybe you're here tonight with no one looking around and you say, you know, Brother Ben, I'm going through something. Maybe other folks know about it. Maybe they don't. But you'd say, would you pray for me? I needed that tonight. Without looking around, I won't point you out or embarrass you. If that's you, would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me, Brother Ben? I'd appreciate that. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, amen. I see that. Amen. Dear Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you that it's got the power to transform us from the inside out. Lord, I thank you for this account of Paul. Lord, I thank you that you included and prompted Paul through revelation, or through inspiration rather, to reveal to us the difficulties he was going through, because that can in turn encourage us. Lord, help us to keep trusting you in spite of difficulty. If there's pride, Lord, I pray you'd help us to get that out of the way. Lord, if you're teaching us to pray, help us to be good students. Lord, if you're preparing us for ministry by strengthening us even while we're weak, Lord, help us to see those opportunities. And Lord, if it's just a perspective change overall that we need, Lord, would you help us to see that? Lord, send us from here with your blessing to impact others who need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.